So Pastor Evan is out this Sunday. He will be back next Sunday, and he will be here Wednesday, for those of you who come to Bible study. So he asked me to go ahead and step in this week. And today, we're going to be continuing our series on faith. We're going to be talking about having faith over fear. So I want to start off with a little story. A student of philosophy was taking his final written exam at his university. The assignment for a five-hour long exam was to write an essay on the topic, "What is courage?" The young man sat at his desk and thought for a little while. Finally, he scribbled something on a piece of paper, on the piece of paper in front of him, and got up and turned in that piece of paper. All he had written was, "This is." How many of you would think that it'd take a lot of courage to just write two words on a piece of paper for a five-hour long exam essay and to turn it in for your final? How many of you would have that kind of courage to do that? No. But, I mean, think about it. That's kind of exactly what courage is. He embodied it perfectly in those two words. But sometimes there is a fine line between having courage or being brave and being dumb. In our lives, it makes sense to have a plan, to have a reasonable plan, and to expect a certain outcome from our events. And we often look at bravery where the result is relatively safe, like riding a roller coaster or going ziplining, as a good kind of brave, good kind of courage. Because let's be honest, the chances of something bad happening are very, very slim. But we look at bravery without weighing the consequences as dumb or ill-advised. Going skydiving without looking and double-checking your parachute. Is that being brave or being dumb? Being dumb. I mean, I would love to go skydiving, but I would want to make sure that I had someone with me that knew exactly what they were doing, went over that parachute like 20 times. There were 15 different fail-safes, so that way there was no chance of something bad happening. But today we're going to be looking at a different kind of being brave. One that isn't dumb or isn't safe, but a type of bravery or courage that requires us to step out in faith and to trust God. A kind of bravery or courage where you can't see the outcome or you can't see the path, but you know that because God's leading the way, it's going to turn out okay. This faith-filled bravery is one that hits the unknown in life square in the head and keeps going. So if you guys want to turn to Judges chapter 4, we're going to be taking a look at a story involving three people: Deborah, Barak, and Jael. And how having faith over the fear of our circumstances can play a huge role in the outcomes that we get. So picking up in verse 4, "Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoah, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abonim, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, 'Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go, gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you at the river of Kishon, and his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand.' Barak said to her, 'If you go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go.' And she said, 'I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman.' Then Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called out Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And 10,000 men went up at his heels, and Deborah went with him." So there are a lot of long, confusing names there. I have it, like, after each one, I have, like, a phonetic pronunciation. Because I could not pronounce these. I had to listen to them, like, 10 times before I could figure it out. But let's try to navigate what's going on here. God's people, the Israelites, were being oppressed by the Canaanites. And God assured his prophetess Deborah that there would be a victory in a battle between the Israelites and the Canaanites. And Deborah chose Barak to lead the military into battle and that they would free Israel from their Canaanite oppressors. In the passage we just read, Deborah laid out to Barak her strategy for how the battle should be approached, which, if you look at the map of kind of where everything was going to happen and the time that it was happening, wouldn't really make any sense. You have this Israelite army, and there's this big battlefield, and Sisera commands this giant, powerful military full of chariots and strong men. How many of you think you could outrun a chariot? How do you think a battle would go between an army of chariots and an army of foot soldiers? Not too well. If you line up for battle, these chariots are just going to plow right over you. So Barak's looking at this thinking, this makes absolutely zero sense. But you know what? Because God told you this, if you come with me, then I know this is going to happen. I don't think I can do this on my own, but you coming with, because God told you this is going to happen, I think this might work. He was unsure of the path that was in front of him. He was letting fear dictate his movements over his faith. And not being able to see the path in front of you can be very, very terrifying. How many of you like having a plan? Knowing exactly what you're going to do, mapping out your day, mapping out your next few years, thinking, okay, I'm going to do this, 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 and this is going to get me to this point, this is going to get me to this point. And I feel comfortable because I have some control. I like having that sense of security too, having being able to have control over what's going on, knowing what is around the next turn. And when Liz and I moved up here, that wasn't the case. I didn't have a job. I didn't have any idea what I was going to be doing. I knew I was going to be here being the youth pastor, but other than that, she was going to law school. We were living with my parents for a little bit. We really didn't know what was going on. So when we get ready to move up here, you would think this is kind of terrifying, not knowing what's going to happen, but just trusting that God knew what he was doing by bringing us up here. It brings us to our first point. Sometimes fear can hold us back from being brave. Sometimes fear is that little voice in our brain that protects us, telling us not to jump out of a plane with a parachute that we have no idea if it's going to work or not. But at other times, fear can make us step up and own up to what's in front of us. And as we look through this chapter in Judges, we're going to see different examples of how we can be brave in the face of the unknown. So we see Deborah, the judge, who is the only woman judge in this Bible. She gets a word from God and she's like, okay, I don't know exactly what you're going to do, God. I don't know exactly how you're going to do it, but you told me that this is what's going to happen, so we're going to do it. She was brave in the face of fear, brave in the face of her oppressors, and followed what God wanted her to do. She calls Barak up, and he's like, well, I think this could work, but what's your plan? Well, my plan is to trust that God has a plan and it's going to work out because he said that this is what we're going to do. I'm not too sure about that. I don't know if I like that plan of attack. So, if you join me, since you heard this from God, we'll go ahead and give this a shot. Deborah had already been promised the victory, but Barak let his fear hold him back from his faith. Fear is a big deal. We are afraid of a lot of different things. The Washington Post did a survey and discovered the top five, using five loosely, because there's a few here that are tied, things that Americans are afraid of. Number five, needles and blood. Number four, drowning. Number three, bugs, snakes, and other animals. Number two, heights. Does anyone have any guesses on what number one is? Yes, public speaking, which is something I hate doing, ironically. I am not much of a public speaker. My heart gets going like crazy. I get very nervous. I get very scared. The whole morning leading up to this, I'm just sitting there like, okay, it's coming. I can do it. And these are fears that we have. These are fears that can allow us, that can change our daily lives. They can cause us to cower, or we can step up and go through them. Public speaking has never been a thing for me. I've never liked it. I never wanted to do it. And then my senior year, God thought it was funny to say, hey, you're going to be a youth pastor. You're going to get up in front of people every week, and you're going to speak. But I chose to trust that God knew what he was doing, and to step up through that fear and to keep going. As followers of Jesus, we cannot be too scared to follow his plans for our lives. Barak was fearful of Deborah's plan, so he was scared to proceed without her, and he robbed himself of the blessing of being fully used by God. His fear was greater than his faith. To be brave, we have to let our faith empower us to rise above our fears. How many of you know that we serve an awesome God? An awesome God that is more than capable of doing anything, has more power than anyone, whose plan is perfect. And this God does not allow us and does not let us just jump into our faith alone. He is always with us, and he has a plan, which brings us to our second point. When God calls you to be brave, he has a plan. Back in Judges 4, continuing in verse 14, and Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day that the Lord, in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army before Barak by the edge of the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot. And Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Harosheth Hagoyim. And all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. When I was looking at this passage, it made me think for a minute. Why would Sisera get out of his chariot to flee? A chariot that could outrun a person. Why would he get out of the chariot to run from the army? As I did some more research, I found that the area where this battlefield happened was normally during a rainy season, was very wet, very marshy. And that was for a short time. And then it would dry up and just be desert. Hard, packed ground. When this was taking place, it was during that dry period. Anyone could go through this area, be perfectly fine, hard, packed dirt. But God sent a strong storm before this. And this area wasn't this hard-packed dirt that was expected. This area was very muddy, very soft. So as these chariots came through, they got stuck. And they couldn't move. God had a plan. They didn't have meteorologists then. They didn't know what was going to be happening with the weather. But God knew. He sent this storm to flood this area, to make it soft, so that way when those chariots came through, they sunk. And now, all of a sudden, these 10,000 men versus an army of chariots was a lot different. It wasn't these powerful chariots that were mowing over these men. Instead, they were stuck, and they didn't know what to do. They were full of fear. God will not leave your side, but you have to listen and to pay attention to where he is. A couple hundred years after this story, there was a prophet that was consumed with fear for his life. His name was Elijah. God took him up to a mountainside, and in 1 Kings chapter 19 it says, "And he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper." God had shown Elijah in that many miraculous signs of his power. But he wasn't found in those mighty acts. God was found in the whisper. In the moments when you have to be brave and cling to your faith, when all else seems lost, God is there with you. Sometimes I wish God would like have a floating sign in front of me saying, "Hey, go this way, go that way." So that way in the middle of all the noise, I knew exactly where he wanted me to go. But sometimes through all the chaos, through all the confusion, through all the noise, we just have to take a second to step back and silence ourselves and just listen for that low whisper. It could be something like with Barak, Deborah, "Up, get up, for right now is the day that the Lord has for you, the day that you are going to defeat Sisera." It could be a friend, could be a mentor, could be a family member. God always isn't going to give you this bright, glowing neon sign saying, "Hey, this is what you need to do." But he is there with you, giving you direction. You just have to quiet yourself and listen for it. That brings us to our third point. God equips us all to be brave. Bravery is not just something for the elite. It's not just something that a few select people have. It's something that each and every one of us has and needs. As we finish off in this passage in Judges 4, "But Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, 'Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me. Do not be afraid.' So he turned aside to her into the tent, and she covered him with a rug. And he said to her, 'Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty.' So she opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, 'Stand at the opening of the tent. And if any man come and asks you, 'Is anyone here?' say no. But Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and then softly went to him, drove the peg into his temple until it went down into the ground where he was laying fast asleep from weariness. So he died. And behold, as Barak pursuing Sisera, Jael went out to meet him and said to him, "Come, and I will show you the man whom you are seeking." So he went into her tent, and there lay Sisera dead with a tent peg in his temple. How many of you, if a military leader came up to you and said, "Hey, help me out here, let me hide here," how many of you would turn around and drive a tent peg through his temple? That takes some insane bravery and courage. But she didn't think twice about doing this. In this time, in this world, women were not highly valued. A woman with Deborah's military and political influence was rare. Jael at the time was a much more normal depiction of how women were. They were the housemakers. They were staying in the tent. They were tending to those. This wasn't some strong judge like Deborah leading a military, leading an army into battle. But she was a wife of a Kenite. And the Kenite were nomadic people. They weren't very military people. They were just kind of stripped down, basic living. And the crazy thing is they didn't have any issues with the Canaanites at the time. The Canaanites and the Kenites actually had a very good relationship. And you can obviously see that if Sisera fled from the Israelites in battle and is like, "Hey, I need you to hide me." Didn't even think twice about it. First instinct, "I'm going to go to this camp so I can hide." But these Kenites saw what these Canaanites were doing to the Israelites over the last 20 plus years. Saw how they had been picking on them, bullying them, mistreating them. And she saw this opportunity to step up. Now, we don't know if Jael believed in God or even knew who he was. But what we do know is that in this moment, she showed more bravery, more faith than Barak did. Jael was ordinary by the world's standards, but her bravery was extraordinary. God isn't just calling on the fancy, the athletic, the popular, the perfect people in the world. The people who look like they have it all together. He's calling the ordinary to do the extraordinary. As the worship team goes ahead and comes back up. We can see two different examples of how we can react to the fear in our lives. We have Barak, who decided to let fear of the unknown, fear of what might happen, take a front seat to the plan that God had. He let his fear overcome his faith, and because of that, he was robbed of the blessing that God had planned for him. He missed out on what God had. But Jael saw the opportunity, and even if she didn't know who God was, she had faith that what she was going to do was going to make a difference. Her faith overcame the fear of, what if he wakes up as I'm standing over him? What if I'm not strong enough to do this? A million different things could have happened. But she followed through with this plan. what might God be calling you to that's pulling you out of your comfort zone, that's making you a little scared? Could it be talking to that person at work or that person at school and letting them know about how much God loves them? Could it be forgiving someone for something they did a long time ago that hurt you? The list of what requires our faith can go on and on and on. But if we let that fear of what if hold us back from our faith and acting out on our faith, we're not hurting anyone else but ourselves. Barak had the opportunity to be recorded in the Bible as this man of great faith to overcome the Canaanites. But instead, we see his fear hold him back from his true potential. Did God still use him in an amazing way? Oh, yeah. He led him and used him to defeat the Canaanites in this battle. But the ultimate prize of defeating this general Sisera, he missed out on because he was scared. Scared of the what if, scared of the unknown. Don't miss out on what God has for you because of fear. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be something that you can just do at a whim. But it starts with one simple phrase. God, use me no matter what. And trusting that even though you might not know the outcome, that you might not see what he has planned, that he has a plan for what he's calling you to do. We might not see that storm coming to soak the battlefield to give us an advantage. But God sees it and puts it there to help us. God starts his moves, his planning, long before we even know what's going on. One of my favorite phrases I've heard is, we're trying to play checkers while God's trying to play chess. Someone who's a master in chess thinks 5, 6, 7, 8 moves ahead of where they're currently at on the board. They can think of all these different outcomes and how to respond to them and what to do, and they have a plan in place. God is an undefeated grandmaster. He knows exactly what everyone is going to do. He knows what he has to do to make sure that his plan works out. And we just need to trust that it will. When he calls us to do something, he will make it happen, no matter what. So as we sing this song one last time, just give yourself over to God. Give your fears over to him and ask him, God, just give me the strength. Give me the courage to follow your plan no matter what. Even when it looks bleak, even when it looks like nothing's going to work out, that I will still trust in you.